Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation.'" Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Amen. This is God's word. Let's just pray together for a moment. Loving God, we thank you for the privilege of being able to sing your praise. We thank you for the joy of being able to pray to our Father in heaven. We thank you too for just that incredible joy of being able to open your word, to read it, and to think on it together. Lord, we pray today that by your Holy Spirit, you would come and you would teach us from this word. Lord, give me the right words to say and to share. Give us ears to listen, minds to process. Give us a will and a desire to apply to our lives for your glory today. Come, speak to us, we pray. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. A dad with a 3-year-old son. I should probably caveat this, by the way, of saying that I could probably get into trouble even just for sharing this story today in the PC world in which we live. But anyway, a dad with a 3-year-old son had just gone through the bedtime routine, reading a story, listening to his prayers, answering a dozen questions, giving him a hug, saying goodnight 4 or 5 times before slipping out of the room. Finally, after a long, hard day at work, the dad goes into the living room, plonks himself down in his favorite recliner chair, pops it back, and sits there ready to relax. It was quiet for all of 5 minutes before he heard, "Daddy, can I have a drink of water?" He said, "No, son, go to sleep." It was quiet for a couple of minutes. Louder than before, he heard, "Daddy, can I have a drink of water?" "Son," I said, "be quiet. Go to sleep." And the dad could see that he wasn't getting anywhere and worried what was going to come, but there was a silence again. But this time, it wasn't even as long as the time before. "Daddy, please, can I have a glass of water?" And the dad definitely knew he wasn't getting anywhere. "Son, if I hear another sound out of that room, I'm going to spank you." See, I get into trouble these days, wouldn't I? You could hear a pin drop. But then he heard the voice again. "Daddy, when you come to spank me, please can I have a glass of water?" Now the dad knew that the son was really thirsty. Why? Because he boldly, persistently kept coming back with his request for a drink. Jesus speaks of prayer a bit like that in our text this morning. He encourages us to pray boldly and to pray persistently and to pray expectantly. He urges us not simply to pray, but to keep on praying. We're not just to make a request and leave it there, but to keep pestering. Yes, I did say pestering God with our prayers. Our Father in heaven is keen to see us pray with such fervency and such passion. The disciples, you will remember, have been watching Jesus and seeing his consistent prayer life, his intimacy with the Father, the amazing results of his prayer times, and they want to be able to pray like that. They want to go deeper. And so they've asked Jesus. Last week we thought on it, teach us to pray. And we thought on the practice and the purpose of prayer before spending time looking at the pattern that Jesus gave them, a framework, a model to use. He gave them a flexible form of intercession that's been the basis of Christian prayer ever since. Jesus taught his disciples to pray to God as their Father, seeking the honor of his name, the glory of his kingdom, asking him to meet their daily needs for food, for forgiveness, for freedom from temptation. We call it the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray and that is answered by his amazing grace. Then having given the disciples the basic content of their prayers, Jesus proceeded to show them how boldly they should ask for what they needed, how generously their Father would answer. He encourages them to keep on praying. And we'll see how he teaches that through two stories and their applications, two parables, and the promise that they teach. To begin with, pray boldly and persistently. Pray boldly and persistently. When we think of prayer, I guess the question is raised in our minds. Shouldn't we be reluctant or a little ashamed to bother God with our troubles since you know he's going to do what he's going to do? Well, Jesus jumps right in here with an example from everyday life for them. He tells a humorous parable to teach that we should approach God with boldness as his friend, persisting in our prayers and not giving up until we see the answer. Then he applies that parable by telling us to keep on asking, to keep on seeking, to keep on knocking in prayer until we see the answer. Jesus tells a parable, a story, a funny tale that makes us smile. We read it there in verse 5. Suppose one of you's got a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him." Then the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs." I wonder what you're thinking as you read that. A friend turns up at midnight looking for help. Midnight. I'm tucked up in my bed. The lights are off. Chances are I am probably sound asleep, even although Morag's lying next to me with her iPad screen blaring out and she's busy playing a game or something else. But I wouldn't thank you for getting woken up at that time of night. I've had a text at that time of night before. It gets ignored. The phone goes at that time of night. Unfortunately, in my line of work, sometimes you've got to really answer that telephone, but it takes an incredible amount of effort to get out of the bed to even answer the phone at that time of night. You've been there, probably. There's no good coming out of this story. Suppose a friend turns up at midnight. I need to tell you, my friend's no better than that. Jesus asks us to suppose that we have a guest drop in on us late one night, and we discover that we've no food to offer him. So we go to a neighbor to borrow some food. Further, we are asked to suppose that the neighbor yells out of his bedroom window, "Get lost. I'm already locked up for the night and the kids are sleeping. I can't help you at this ungodly hour." And this episode seems oh so strange to you and to me in our society today, in our world today. We can hardly imagine anyone going to a neighbor's door at midnight to borrow anything. Actually, many of us don't even know our neighbors and wouldn't even dare go there during daylight hours, much less at midnight. In fact, from the average person's perspective, the whole problem started with a traveler dropping in unannounced. He should have called ahead. Wouldn't that have been the polite thing to do? But Jesus' listeners didn't come to the story with that kind of selfish mindset that we come to it with. In Israel back then, as in other parts of the world in ancient times, and actually in third world countries, particularly today, people in places where they don't have a lot are dependent upon their neighbors. They help each other out. There were no 24-hour supermarkets. There's no shop in the corner that's open late at night. Furthermore, these folks were a hospitable people. There weren't many hotels or hostels or places to stay, so they put each other up. And since it was hot during the day in Israel and the Middle East there, people actually didn't travel during the day. Many of them waited until the evening. So stopping at a friend's house at midnight would not actually be all that unusual. Furthermore, one would never allow a guest to go to bed hungry. And so food had to be offered. It had to be obtained sometimes. It was too late to buy any in this case. So the only solution was to go next door and to chap the door to borrow some. Well, this man shouts no, rolls back over. But it seems his friend is not forgiving up. He is going to get what he asks for because of his shamelessness. Verse 8 says, because of the man's boldness. That word is translated elsewhere in Scripture as persistence, as importunity. That's a great word, by the way, a great word to go and look up in the dictionary later on. Importunity, shameless audacity. The emphasis here is not so much on the persistence, on the much asking, but on the boldness of asking at such an inopportune moment in time. And it's a perfect illustration. It's just a perfect illustration of us going to God and saying to him, I know it's inappropriate to interrupt you because you're running a universe just now and you've got all these things going on, but I just need you to sit down and listen to me and look at this and don't be distracted. I've got some things I need to. And that's just over the top, isn't it? It's just over the top to think that we could go to the God of the universe at such an inopportune time when he's got so many things going on. But it isn't. The picture here is of shameless nerve, of boldness, of that importunity, of things that seem almost ludicrous to us about going into the presence of God, the God of the universe. But our Lord Jesus is teaching us how to be invasive, how to be bold in our prayers. Jesus' point here, the whole point of it all, is that we should be boldly persistent in bringing our request to God at any hour and in any situation. If a cranky friend responds to this kind of bold persistence, how much more will our friend in heaven respond to us? And so the parable leads on to the incredible promise in verses 9 and 10. And this is so over the top if you really think about it. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. This is the incarnate God speaking, remember. And he speaks with divine authority and he says, so I say to you, you must hear this. Get those ears open. Make sure you take this in and follow it. And then he goes on to say, don't you dare come and bang around in God's presence demanding things. Well, that's what I'd say anyway, isn't it? That's what I would say. But that's not what Jesus says. That's what we would expect to be said. But it's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, feel free. Feel free to come to God. Feel free to come and to ask of God. He wants to teach us how to come to the Father, to come boldly, persistently in prayer, to come not afraid to ask, not afraid to ask again and again and again, not afraid to show shameless audacity. Jesus says, come and ask, come and seek, come and knock. And I don't think I've ever seen until this week in the study these very familiar verses in connection with the context of the preceding words of our Lord and the story of the friend who petitions his friend for a loaf of bread at midnight there, by the way. But the connection is clear. He, the friend in the story, by persistently knocking, had the door opened to him. He, by boldly asking, got what he asked for. He sought and he found what he was seeking. And so too with the disciples in their prayers. Consistent, persistent prayer, daily prayer, is to be motivated by the assurance that if a friend will give what is sought, even if inconvenient, then God, our Heavenly Father, will surpass that and his rich generosity and grace to you and to me. And Jesus applies this parable with some of the most encouraging words in the Bible.
ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Our duty is to ask, to seek, to knock. And there seems to be a progression there if you think about it. It's one thing to ask, but to seek requires a higher level of commitment. To seek is to pursue what's asked. But then to knock, to pound on the very door for an answer. These verbs move in the direction of a more serious intention to get what God has to offer. And more importantly, we need to grasp the tense, the form of these verbs here. These words, all three of them, are in the present imperative tense. They describe a continuous action. Jesus does not say here in verse 9, ask, seek, knock. But it's actually asking, seeking, knocking. Jesus isn't telling us to come to God in the first place, but how to go to him again and again and again. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Don't hesitate to be bold. Don't be embarrassed. And this is very simple, but it's also so, so profound. We cannot expect God to answer prayers that are never prayed. We need to learn to ask the Lord for our needs. Simply take it to the Lord in prayer. He desires for us to come before him with our needs in an attitude of faith, believing that he will hear and answer our prayers. James says in James 4:2, you do not have because you do not ask. Ask. And then seek. This speaks of seeking with the purpose of finding. It reveals commitment. It shows a sense of urgency. It presents the idea of seeking diligently for something of great value. We know that God has exactly what we need and the ability to provide for us. We've committed the keeping of our eternal souls to him, and yet many times we lack confidence in his ability to provide for our everyday needs. We must seek the Lord in prayer as if we sought something of great value, fully expecting to find what we need. Prayer requires practice. We need to do it. Prayer requires passion, but it also requires patience. We must intercede at the door of faith until it is opened unto us. God will reward the faithful and fervent prayers with fulfillment. His answer may not be what we desired or expected, but it will always be just what we need. He may not always answer the first time we pray. In fact, he may even deny our request. But remember, when God says no, he's got a much better yes round the corner. If we will continue to knock, God will answer. He will open the door of his abundant grace to you and to me. Ask. And even if you think about ask and think of it as a synonym, ask, seek, knock. We've got to go to God. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. When we have the audacity to pray the way that Jesus taught us to pray, God has promised to hear and answer us. And in these verses, Jesus assures us that God will answer our prayers. He offers this assurance not just once, not just twice, but six times. Three in verse 9, three in verse 10. Our asking, our seeking, our knocking will not be in vain. God will give, God will reveal, God will open. And in case of any doubt about that, Jesus goes on to repeat himself to give us the extra assurance that our prayers will be answered. Verse 9, he says, it will be given to you. You will find. The door will be opened. Verse 10, he goes through it all over again. Do you think the disciples are a bit like us sometimes? Slow to hear, slow to listen, slow to understand, slow to process, slow to do. Verse 10, whoever asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, the door will be opened. Of course, Jesus is not saying that God will give us anything and everything we want. This is all tied back into the context of the model for prayer that he gave us in verses 2 to 4. We pray for God's name to be hallowed, his kingdom to come. If we follow the prayer in Matthew chapter 6, his will to be done. So it's always according to God's name, according to God's kingdom, according to God's will that we ask. And in light of that, God answers. And as we'll see in verse 13, he is ready and willing to offer those spiritual blessings. That's incredible. Let's be bold in our prayer. Let's be persistent in our praying. Let's keep asking. Let's keep seeking. Let's keep knocking. Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray boldly and persistently. He longs for them to be regular in prayer, to be persistent, to be continual, to be constant in prayer. And then he reminds them to pray simply, and expectantly. We don't need to make our prayers complex and difficult. We are coming now as children, before our Heavenly Father. We should feel free to ask and to plead with God. And we should do so expecting him to hear and to answer. Now let me say again, he will answer those prayers prayed according to his good and pleasing will. He will meet our needs. He most certainly will not meet our greeds. He will do what is best, and he knows what is best. We should trust him for that. Jesus again comes with a parable and a promise, and he's building on all that he said so far. We find the parable, the principle, in verse 11 and 12. Jesus moves from friend to father here, to family. Which of our fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? In the first story, Jesus used the example of a friend who gave his friend what he needed, even though it was inconvenient because of his persistence, his boldness. In the second story, Jesus leaves the imagery of a friend and moves to that of a father. And I understand this is difficult because not everybody has good earthly fathers to think about, but for those who do, if friends can be expected to give us what we ask for when we persist, what can one expect of a father better yet of our Heavenly Father? Now, this is a basic principle. Fathers give good gifts to their children. Generally speaking, humanly speaking, fathers care for their children. My children certainly didn't hesitate to ask for what they wanted. Do yours? They certainly have never hesitated to ask their mum more than their dad, maybe. And the expectation is that if it's something they need and something that we know that they need, then they're going to receive it. Because they understand the relationship that we have is one of love, it's one of care, it's one of responsibility, it's one of affection. And that's the point here. Earthly fathers love their children and delight in giving good gifts to them. Human fathers do not give their children bad things by and large when they have asked for something good. Put it a little bit differently. Earthly fathers do not give their children gifts that will harm them when they've asked for something that will help them. Fish and eggs are both helpful. They strengthen the physical body. Snakes and scorpions are actually both harmful to the physical body. I've never understood people that want pets that are snakes and scorpions. Why would you? Andrew would hate a scorpion in the house, actually. God is our Heavenly Father. Does not give us things which will be harmful to us when we've asked for things that will be beneficial to us. So Jesus is saying God's answers are always good, even when you can't see it. He is always answering your prayers, yes, but for your good. I love the way that John Calvin puts it. God does not answer our prayers as we pray them, but as we pray them if we were wiser. Isn't that incredible? God does not answer our prayers as we pray them, but as we would pray them if we were wiser. This is what Jesus is wanting us to see. We have to be expectant. God is going to answer our prayers. He's going to answer as if you would have prayed it, knowing what he knows and being as good as he is. He is going to answer that prayer. Pray simply. Pray expectantly. That's the parable, the principle. But then Jesus finishes with the most amazing promise. And this is where all this section of prayer comes from and builds towards. Verse 13, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God freely gives his very best to his children. He answers way beyond how our earthly parents might, and dare I say it, way beyond what we might even expect. I could spend ages in this verse here, actually, because it's so rich with stuff going on here. But time and specific focus are going to stop me, you'll be glad to know. We're reminded here, though, just to point it out to you, we're reminded here of evil, of the inherent sinfulness in our lives, of the total depravity of humanity. None of us is sinless. Yet even in our sinfulness, we know how to give good gifts to our children. How much more then is God, who is perfect in every single way, able to give the best to his children? I mean, if you who are at heart evil give good gifts to your children, how much more will our Heavenly Father, who is holy, give to his children? If you who can only love imperfectly give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father, who loves perfectly, give to his children? And if we who are limited in wisdom give to your children what you think is best, how much more will your Father, who is perfectly wise, give the best to his children? That is mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing. Because God is a good God, a loving Father. He can not only be expected to answer our petitions, but to do so in a way that is for our highest good. From our Lord's story, we learn that God answers our prayers. From the second story, we learn that his answers are good ones. The highest good which God gives to his disciples who petition him in prayer is summed up in the gift of the Holy Spirit. Did you see that in the verse there? He gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. What better gift could our Lord give to his disciples? And we know from the first chapters of the book of Acts that the Spirit of God is God the Father's gift to his church in answer to their prayers. But actually, if you're like me, you're reading through that text again and you're thinking to yourself, but they never asked for the Holy Spirit. They didn't ask for the Holy Spirit there. Why does Jesus say, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Well, whatever we might ask for, he gives us the Holy Spirit. Let me show you what I mean. You ask for comfort, he gives us the comforter. You ask for help, he gives us the helper. You ask for truth, he gives us the truth teacher. You ask for power, he gives you the spirit of power. You ask for wisdom, he gives you the spirit of wisdom. You ask for guidance, he gives you the guide. You ask for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and he gives you the spirit whose fruit is released in your life. You see, that's the generosity of God. You ask for the gift, he gives the giver. You ask for the effect, he gives the cause. You ask for the product, and he gives you the source. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask. There's the important bit in that verse again, by the way. All we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. God gives us the Holy Spirit. He is able to do more than all we ask. God is so generous. He is so good. He is so great. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The disciples asked Jesus to teach us to pray. And he's done that with a model prayer that they can use as a framework. He's going on to illustrate the importance and the need to keep on praying. He encourages us today to pray boldly and persistently, to pray simply and expectantly. We're encouraged to keep asking, to keep seeking, to keep knocking, and then to look for God's answers to our prayers. They might not be as we expect, but they will be according to his perfect plans and purposes. Our Father in heaven is generous. And he blesses us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Let's not be afraid to ask. Let's not be afraid to keep asking. My friends, today, the encouragement is actually quite simple, but the challenge is there for us. Today, you and me, the message is keep on praying. Don't pray once. Don't give up. Keep on praying. Pray boldly. Pray persistently. Pray simply. Pray expectantly. And our God will hear. And he will answer. Let's pray together. Loving God, we want to thank you for your incredible word. We thank you for all that it shows us, all that it teaches us. We thank you for that simple reminder of coming before you in prayer. Of asking you for what we need in our life, asking your help for the struggles at home, the struggles at work, the struggles in our social life, asking you to come in and to move in power. And we thank you, Father God, that you hear our prayers, and that you give to us what is best for us, not always what we think we need, but what you know we need. And Lord, we thank you importantly in the midst of all of that, that you give us the gift of your Holy Spirit, the one who is our guide, the one who is our comfort, the one who is our wisdom, our power, the one whose fruits is worked out in our lives, that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, that self-control. Father God, we thank you that you're a God who delights in his children praying to him, a God who delights in hearing our prayers, listening to them, talking with us, and a God who delights in giving good gifts to his children. We thank you for the most incredible gift, that gift of life, that gift of forgiveness, and that gift of life in all its fullness through Jesus. Lord, as we move from thinking about prayer to thinking about your goodness and your rich generosity, our minds turn to the table, Lord. We pray that you would allow us to remember the greatest answer to our prayers, that our sin is forgiven, that our relationship with you is restored, that the hope of heaven lies before us. So, Lord, allow us this morning to take these words away. I pray that you take away anything that's of man this morning and you would let remain that which is of you, that you by your Spirit would be at work in our lives, allowing us to process that word and to apply it to our lives that we might live it out this week. Lord, help us to be a people of prayer, a people who keep on praying. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.